This chapter is entitled The Activities of the Prachetas. Verse 1 is Vidura Uvacha Ye Tvaya Bihita Brahmanam Sutta Prichanar Barhisa Te Rudra Gatena Harim Siddhim Apu Pratosyakam. Translation: Vidura inquired from Maitreya, "My dear Brahmana, you formerly spoke about the sons of Prichinabarhi and informed me that they satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting a song composed by Lord Shiva. What did they achieve in that way?" Purport: In the beginning, Maitreya Rishi narrated the activities of the sons of Prichinabarhi. These sons went beside a great lake, which was like an ocean, and fortunately, finding Lord Shiva, they learned how to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting the songs composed by Lord Shiva. Now their father's attachment for fruitive activities was disapproved by Narada, who therefore kindly instructed Prichinabarhi by telling him the allegorical story of Puranjana. Now Vidura again wanted to hear about Prichinabarhi's sons, and he was especially inquisitive to know what they achieved by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, the words Siddhim Apu, or achieve perfection, are very important. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Out of many, many millions of people, one may be interested in learning how to attain success in spiritual matters. The supreme success is mentioned also in Bhagavad Gita 8.15, Mam upetya punarjanma dukalayam shasvatam napnuvanti mahatmano samsidim paramam gata. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. And what is the highest perfection? That is explained in this verse. The highest perfection is to return home, back to Godhead, so that one will not have to return to this material world and transmigrate from one body to another in the dream of material existence. By the grace of Lord Shiva, the Prachetas actually attained perfection and returned home, back to Godhead, after enjoying material facilities to the highest extent. Maitreya will now narrate that to Vidura. I think I'll just speak on this verse. Om Agyan Tirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pongum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamam Bande Shri Guru Dinatarnam Shri Rupa Shri Sanatana Bhattaraguna Shri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Dasa Raguna Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayamupakara Mahyam Darati Swaparantikam Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Nama Tavasmi Radhikanatha Karmana Manasagiram Krishna kante tavai vasmi uvameva gatirmama Govinda valabe radhe partaye tvamaham sadam Tvariyayate janatu govindo mantayasa Radhe vrindavanadishe karudamritavahini Kripaya nijapada jadasyam mahyam pridiyatam tvaivasmi, na jivami tvaya vinam, iti vigyaya devetvam nayamam charanam digam. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So Vidura is asking Maitreya to tell him more about the sons of Prachinabarhi. They were the Prachetas. And previously, Maitreya has told Vidura how they were sent by their father, Prachinabarhi, to the forest, to a lake. Is it Bindu Sarovara? Bindu Sarovara is in Nepal, Tibet. It's in the Himalayas. It's a lake which you can see today. I think it looks very different than what it may have looked as described in the Bhagavatam. So they were sent there by their father to perform tapas, to perform austerities, that they will get material power, material facility, that they can enjoy material pleasure. But they were dissuaded from this mission by Narad Muni, the great transcendentalist teacher of Krishna Bhakti. He told them that your endeavor is useless. You may get some pleasure, but ultimately it is futile because it is temporary. And so you will put the same amount of effort, but you will invest the same amount of energy performing austerities to please the Lord, but what you will get from it is shallow compared to what you can get. You can get something much better, something much greater, and that is you can end the cycle of repeated birth and death. You can free yourself, you can escape from samsara. Now, this freedom from samsara, or ending the cycle of birth and death, that is mukti. It is also a shallow benefit. So you can get this, but you can do even better than that again. You could get material pleasure, but that's shallow. Better than that, you can get mukti. Now, you can get mukti, but there is even something better than that. Mukti, which nurtures the heart. Mukti, which nurtures the soul with rasa. You can cultivate your relationship with Krishna in bhakti, in devotion. You can nurture prema. You can nurture love of God. So Naraji, he said, that is what I advise you to do. You are here for austerities, for material life, to get a good wife, to get children. But I know you can do so much better. Aspire for bhakti. So the Prachetas, they asked, how should we do that? So Narad Muni, he taught them a song. Let me sing you a song. He taught them a song. Narad is a devotee, preacher, he's also a musician. in India, we have classical music, the raga system of music, and it has two main streams. And the claim is that, so these two streams are, today one is called Hindustani music and the other is called Carnatic music. Hindustani today is, it is mixed. There's a raga, the raga system of older India mixed with Muslim. Qawwali Sufi. Qawwali Sufi. These Persian influences. But the essence of it is the older Jat system. And the claim is that Narada, he is the origin of that music, and Carnatic music has Hanumanji as its origin. So Narada and Hanuman, they are two great bhaktas. Narada is the greatest devotee of Sri Ram, and Narada is among the greatest devotees of Sri Krishna. And so this music is meant for glorifying Krishna. It is meant for glorifying the Lord. It is meant for expressing the heart's calling, the heart's emotion of rapture, of appreciation, of gratitude, of marvel at the glory of Sri Krishna, of Vishnu. So Narada, he plays his veena. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a beautiful song which describes how Narada is singing the names Radhika Ramana. Radhika Ramana Nami. Playing his veena, and Narada Muni Bhajai Veena Radhika Ramana Nami. Prabhupada sings that bhajan very beautifully. So Narada, they are asking, what should we do to achieve this greatest thing? He says, you sing a song. I will teach you a song that was sung by Shiva. So he taught them this very beautiful prayer. It is a section of the Bhagavatam, the prayers of Lord Shiva. There are some nice sections of the Bhagavatam which are just prayers. The prayers of Gajendra. Beautiful description and glorification of the Lord. And there are the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Narasimhadev. It's another beautiful section that Prabhupada liked to speak on. Then there are the prayers of Queen Kunti. It's a song. And the prayers of the song of Lord Shiva. There's the Gopi Geet, the song of the gopis. And there's Brahmar Geet, the song of the bee. There's Radha's song relating to the bee, wherein she expresses acharyas, they're rasa acharyas, means they are experts, rasika, they're experts at relishing mellow. So they have pointed out 10 different types of madness expressed in her. In this Brahmar Geet, in Radhika's song to the bee. Illusion, accusation, and different types of madness are expressed in this. I think 10 different types are expressed in that song. So Narada, he teaches them a song, and they sing that song with devotion and please the Lord, they please Krishna. Who appears before them. So in his purport, Prabhupada is emphasizing that this is our real focus of activity. To perform activities that please Krishna, to invoke Krishna's blessings. Prabhupada quotes this famous verse of the Gita, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, out of many millions of living entities, one can approach me. So this deliverance of the Prachetas by Narad Muni. That is, or deliverance of the living entities by Narad Muni, who instructs them in bhakti. It is a theme that is found through the Bhagavatam. But not only through the Bhagavatam, throughout the Vedic literatures. Narada instructed Prahlad. Not just Narada's preaching is very innovative. So generally we try to find some rational person who has a little piety, we instruct them. And we use some logic, we use some stories, we build some rapport, we try to convey a message of Krishna bhakti. Narada instructed Prahlad while he was still in his mother's womb. So maybe something, some area, preaching area that someone wants to consider developing, preaching to babies in the womb. Then he preached to another little boy named Dhruva. Dhruva was a prince. He was full of ambition, materialistic. And he was with great pride, with wounded pride, he was going in search of the Supreme Lord. Narada tested his determination, but it's interesting that Narada didn't question his objective. He let Dhruva come to that conclusion himself. Yeah? Because sometimes we have an idea that we have to give something, everything to somebody at once. But it's important to understand the level of the person that we are engaging with. So Narada, he knew that Dhruva is an ambitious prince. He's a materialistic kshatriya, a five-year-old, who's ready to challenge his father and grandfather and everyone else. He didn't try to tell him, hey, Dhruva, actually, this is not doesn't really have value. He did to the Prachetas. But with Dhruva, he said, so that's what you want here. Approach the Lord. Approach Vishnu. I will teach you a mantra, a song. I will teach you, you chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And then Dhruva, through engaging with the mantra, he became purified and realized that this was so much better, this was so much higher. Having a relationship with Krishna, seeing Krishna, hearing Krishna, beholding Krishna, the presence of Krishna, was so much more satisfying than any kingdom or opulence on earth. So Dhruva got that realization himself. Similarly, we see with Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning, he was just happy that people chanted Hare Krishna. They came to him with so many different desires and motivations and trips. Oh, the hippies. But he was just happy to encourage them in the positive that they were attracted to. I think one of the early posters that devotees put up was, stay high forever. So, what are the connotations to that statement? Who is the target audience? What's the indication behind those words, stay high forever? I'm not sure how much Prabhupada was involved in penning those words, but whatever the case, he approved of it. Yeah? Stay high forever. Chant Hare Krishna. We see Narad Muni preaching to Prahlad, Dhruva, also to Prachinabhagi. That's some of the conversation we've been studying the past months. And again, he comes at Prachinabarhi in a very innovative way. He knows this king is very attached. I'm not going to be able to give him any instruction at all. Hey, Prachinabarhi, let me tell you a story. Tells him a long story. Prachinabarhi is engaged. Okay, this is an interesting tale. Actually, it sounds a little bit like me. And it's all about Prachinabarhi. By the end of it, he gets some insight. Okay, I need to change my ways. I need to do something different. I need to live in a different way to how I've been living. So important lessons there for us as teachers, as parents, as a senior devotee, anyone, any devotee is a senior devotee because there will be other devotees that are less experienced. So whatever one's role as a teacher, as a guide, as a mentor, as a parent, we can learn from Narada sensitivity in how we encourage people to make spiritual advancement. How we encourage them gently, understanding their needs, their level of understanding, their level of conditioning, what their motives are. And we speak to that rather than trying to clobber them over the head with our wisdom, with our knowledge, with our advancement. Sometimes strong words, they may also be effective. Krishna speaks strong words to Arjuna. Asochananda sochastvam prajnyavaram chabasase gatasunagata suncha nanu sochanti pandita. Hey Arjuna, you're speaking like a big pundit. But pundits actually don't lament for that which is not worthy of grief. You are sounding very philosophical, but in fact your words there are not befitting you. Krishna speaks strongly with him. You're thinking you're a pundit, but actually you are not. So sometimes that is appropriate. Arjuna and Krishna have a very tight relationship. Later Krishna says, Bhakto sime saka cheti rahasyam yataduta. Because you are my friend. Because you are my devotee, I can speak to you like this. I can speak very frankly. I can tell you confidential things. I can tell you secrets. Chanakya says only instruct, only chastise your son or your disciple. So that is the sensitivity that our great exemplar teacher and preacher of Krishna Bhakti shows. And we can also cultivate that kind of approach to encouraging and inspiring. Control is a great... The desire for power and control over others, it is a great impediment for the living entity who's trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. Purusha Abhiman, the enjoyer mentality, the controller mentality. And this is a subtle form of material attachment, material enjoyment that we can bring with us into Krishna consciousness. So we are told, don't engage in meat eating, don't engage in intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. And as we advance a little, then we can easily perform those things. But this subtle attachment to power and control over others can linger for long. And it is a subtle form of sex life, actually. And so, as we become advanced, then we think that we can tell others what to do and how to live, and we want people to conform to our mode of what we believe people and things should be. And we think we're doing it with very good intention to spread Krishna consciousness, to uplift society, to benefit the world. And it may have some positive result for some time. We might see some, that we do get some people together, we do get them to do as we say, and think as we think, and dress as we say they should, and jump when we say they should jump, dance when we say they should dance, duck when we told them to duck. But it is not sustainable. We can create relationships of emotional codependency. Us, the powerful figure, they, the dependent son or daughter or emotionally dependent victim or person needing a dominant other to rule them. They can absolve themselves of any personal responsibility. I'm just doing what my authority says. But in time, as the individual has a need to express their own personality, they have a need to express their own individuality. They have a need to express their own identity and to develop their own strength. And so it creates a conflict. And the other thing is that the position of absolute authority and power is artificial. We are all servants of Krishna. So these two needs, of the needs of the individual for expression and the needs of the dominant figure actually to be a servant, they're not... they are enacted in such a way that this relationship cannot be sustained. And in fact, in time, it can lead to lots of hurt and pain. I don't know if you're catching my where I'm going with this or where I'm coming from with this. I'm speaking from realization and I'm speaking from experience that a much more effective and sustainable, healthy form of leadership is by inspiring others, by encouraging others, encouraging and inspiring. Encouraging and inspiring people to express their talents and skills and what motivates them in Krishna's service. Encouraging them to be independent and self-sufficient as a servant of Krishna. And that doesn't mean having to do what you say and think all the time. And abnegating their own personality and needs and talents. Is this making sense? Yeah? So we see that in Narada Muni's teaching. We see that in Krishna's instructions to Arjuna. Arjuna was ready to jump into a mold. I'm going to be in the sadhu mold, because that's what I think it means to be a surrendered servant of Krishna. And Krishna saying, it's not sustainable, it's not healthy, it's not you, you won't be able to maintain it, it's not right, don't do it. Yeah? Krishna wants Arjuna to understand how to be an exemplary bhakta from the position where he's strong. From his position of strength. You are strong as a kshatriya. That is your conditioned nature. It is a conditioned nature, no less. But it is your conditioned nature and you are a conditioned soul. So engage in Krishna bhakti from where you are in your position of strength. Yeah? So whatever your conditioned nature, your mentality, your talents, your skills, your attachments, you're going to find, the leader can, or the preacher, the teacher, should be able to encourage a person to engage those things in Krishna's service. That is called leading by inspiration, or teaching by inspiration. By encouragement. Whereas the other is to artificially, no, you have to come over and fit into my box. And I want to see everyone the same. To dress the same, to think the same, to be the same. I will be your leader. And we try to make society the same. And have we seen that to be successful anywhere in the world? There have been very major sociological experiments. Yeah? With massive populations of millions of people trying to make everyone the same, to think the same ideology, to hold the same values, to follow the rule of the leader. The Soviet Union, a case in point. Communist China, a case in point. North Korea, a case in point. Were they sustainable? They were not. And we have another political model, which is... So then what you need to do there, you need to maintain a state like that, you need to have very strict forms of control. To make sure everyone's conforming. You need to have very strict forms of oppression. You need to close down the media, control it. You need to have systematic indoctrination. Oppression to punish dissenters, to put people in fear. To make people fear not conforming to the ideology. And so you can run it for a period of time through fear. Fear and oppression. But the soul by nature wants freedom. The soul by nature wants love. And so the soul will rebel against such control and oppression. The soul will resist and rebel and seek for the system to collapse. So that's leadership by control. That's teaching by control. That's preaching by control. And the other is leadership by inspiration, by encouragement. Krishna, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Arjuna, I have told you all of these things. Now you make your choice. Isn't that very different to what we might say sometimes as Krishna's representatives? Yeah? You should do like this. How dare you question me? I am the authority. I am the spiritual authority, Krishna's representative. Therefore, you should do what I say. But Krishna himself says, do what you choose. I have told you all of these things. Now you choose. Krishna wants him to choose the right thing. But he's not going to force him to do it. He wants Arjuna to choose love. He wants Arjuna to choose bhakti because that's the best thing for Arjuna. But then Krishna is also patient. If Arjuna chooses something else, Krishna will wait as his friend and observe as he does for all of us. This is a very noisy asana. I don't know. I haven't noticed it before. You can choose as you wish. The interesting thing, Krishna says, choose as you wish, then he goes on to speak like a whole bunch of other verses where he summarizes his main points again. Choose as you wish. Here again is a summary of the Bhagavad Gita. It's because I want you to choose. I would like for you to choose what's best for you. But you choose as you wish. So, this Purusha Abhiman, this controlling mentality, it is very seductive. It's the reason why we are in the material world. We are seduced into the material world by this allurement. You can be a controller. Not Krishna, you. You can be the controller. So we are seduced. And then as we come to realize of this material world, it is not the... it is not my real place. It is not the place of real happiness. It is not the place of real love. It is more a place of frustration. As we come to realize that, and as we come to realize that all of my friends and so that these relationships are temporary. My real relationship is the eternal relationship with Krishna. And so we surrender to Krishna. And we surrender to Krishna and we come to Krishna as a very meek and obedient servant. And as we come to Krishna as a meek and obedient servant with great humility, we make spiritual advancement. Our heart becomes purified. And as we make spiritual advancement with a purified heart, then people come to respect us. And as people come to respect us, we think, actually, I'm a great devotee. Actually, I'm much better than anyone else. I'm better than all of society. They should respect me and they can actually make advancement and please Krishna by submitting to me. And that's why Indrajuna Maharaj, he sometimes calls this recognition of the devotee as Maya's last trick. Yeah? Maya's last trick. Because you get out of Maya, you surrender to Krishna, and then as you surrender, people come to respect, and then you think that you are not just worthy, you demand it. And so again, you become seduced by the material nature. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is encouraging us. He's encouraging us to chant Krishna's name, but he's encouraging us to chant Krishna's name with a certain consciousness, with a certain attitude. And that is, we can say it together, Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanena manadena kirtaniyasadahari. He is encouraging us to chant in a humble state of consciousness, thinking our soul flows in the straw on the street, ready to offer respect to all others. That is so important. Ready to offer respect. Amanena manadena. Without pride, but ready to offer, ready to elevate the other. That's leadership. That's the teacher. That's the parent. That's the Namahatsa leader. That's the temple president, the temple commander. That they will be successful if they adopt that attitude. And if we become seduced by power, the power play, it is unhealthy for us, it is unhealthy for the other. And it is not sustainable. It will collapse in time. As the oppressed become aware and resist, then that relationship will break down. So let us take note, let us take lesson from Sri Narad Muni. How he is our greatest teacher, the greatest teacher, the greatest preacher. And how he is engaging in this activity, we can take lesson from him. Any comments or questions? Yes, Hari Chaitanya.
I was just thinking that in Western society, the authority is very important in one sense that whenever you have any contradiction or you some dual thoughts are dwindling in your mind, so approach the devotees who are seniors and him and get their guidance and in that manner resolve that problem. Right? Even like a Prabhupada, he formed a GBC and finally whatever decision GBC took, it was considered to be a final decision for the whole society. So I think even our society, we have this tendency to control, or how we can express this.
Yeah, I'm not speaking against authority. That's not the point of my that's not the point of my
Because many of us will pursue like that. So.
Yeah. No, I'm not anti-authority. I'm rather speaking for. We have a spiritual master. Krishna tells us in the Gita, Tesham Satata Yuktanam. We should serve the spiritual master. We should inquire submissively. And the spiritual master will give us direction. I'm saying that we should be cautious of ourselves. Conscious of our own, how we are engaging with other people. Take this as a lesson for how you will instruct others. That's what I've been saying. As a parent, as a teacher, as a Namahara leader, as a how should you conduct yourself? I'm not saying now you'll go to anyone with superior authority over and say, no, I'm not going to be controlled. I'm going to resist. This is not sustainable. I am humbly suggesting, and humbly suggesting what will help you best as a person, because we all, I said, we all have some position where we are leading others. So you can do that by telling people what you think and trying to fit them to your mold of who they should be and what they should be. Try to create yourself a little army of clones. Sorry. Wilbur's got a phone call from Yeah, create yourself a little, you know, group of clones who will think and do and act as you. I'm just saying it won't last. For you, it won't last for them. You become needy of them, they become needy of you. So each of you are weak. Yeah? The authoritarian needs the victim. The victim needs the oppressor. And that's how they get on. Yeah? My point is that the... learn to encourage and inspire them rather than control them. I was in a position of authority. I had five temple presidents operating under my authority. I had a country operating under my authority. I mean, under my authority. I wanted it to be under my authority, but you can't control it. You try to control it, and so then you start to categorize people. This is a person who I can work with, who's submissive. These are troublemakers. These will be excluded because and they're good people. Yeah, but they're just not conforming to my model, to my mode of what I want things to be. So then you start to accept and reject. You have friends and you have enemies. You judge good and bad. And I was watching this in myself. And I was like, I was concerned for myself. What is this about? Where is it coming from? This isn't Vaishnava. And I started to pray for compassion. How can I judge and resent other devotees because they're not up to my level or my standard of what I think they should be or where they should be or how they should be? I despise them. Is that right? Is that the sadhu? It's not a sadhu. That's somebody who wants control and power. And yes, I wanted it for Krishna, and I wanted it for Prabhupada's mission and movement. That motivation was there, but then there's something else there as well. Why does it have to be according to my concept? Is it right for a parent to reject a child that doesn't fit to their... you. Yeah? Is it right for the parent to reject the child who wants to be a devotee and to teach Krishna consciousness? The parent needs to... So we may have our view of how people should be and what they should be. How a country should be. That was my... that was my mindset. So you might be able to get a group. You might be able to control for a period. But history shows us it doesn't last. When people wrote to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you read Prabhupada's letters. I've received your letter dated this. Very nice ideas. Do it. Pretty much people are writing to Prabhupada with different ideas about how they want to share Krishna consciousness and they'll spread Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada's just encouraging them. So a leader is somebody who can inspire others to cooperate. Not by your power and control, but inspire others to cooperate, inspire others to be together, inspire others to do something, inspire others to be better for themselves and to be better for Krishna. But they don't need to have to resort to punishment in order to maintain that inspiration. They don't need to have to, So it's actually a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
If you are an incompetent leader, then you need all of that control and power.
True.
The more expert leader is they're able to lead by their example, but their way of inspiring others. That's a lot more subtle. A lot more sustainable, and it can actually harness a lot more power.
But suppose for setting up any
But what?
You have to have some kind of vision or goals, right? Now, the people are, suppose any Vaishnava community or any community, you're not going to get 100% response for anything, whatever the good idea is decided by authorities or whatever. As a position of leader, you have to take certain decisions and draw some goals and guidelines. Now, the person who doesn't want to accept naturally will become against the leader, naturally will become against the particular group that leader is leading. So, naturally that person will tend to go negatively about that group or that particular leader. Now, the leader tries to further persuade the problem of solving it, and it becomes even more worse. So in that situation, what is better to do? Because I'm facing the same problem. That's why I'm expressing it. Because there's never going to be same time where everyone is on equal wavelength. There's always going to be
time. Yeah. What I understand to be important, yes, a leader should give a vision, a leader should give goals, and hopefully an inspire, but the vision is given to others who become inspired by the vision. And so some people are going to be inspired, others not. But the leader who is a leader, they will also find out what is inspiring for those people. What is their vision? What inspires and motivates them? And so now it's not my plan and my values and what I want. What inspires you? What motivates you? How can you offer that to Krishna? And so it may be, you know, separate projects. It may be separate projects. But the real leader can inspire and appreciate and value each of them. Yeah? So it's, okay, this is what inspires me. Some people are going to be inspired by that as well. They will come to you and, you know, you can work together in that vision. Others are not. What inspires you? So the leader, the real leader, the great leader, doesn't reject them. Yeah? If you're responsible for Krishna consciousness in a region, you have your vision. Some will be inspired. But there are so many others with other visions. Are they rejected and excluded from the society? What inspires you? What motivates you? And involve them in what inspires. Krishna's looking at what inspires Arjuna. Krishna knows what inspires him, and so he's directing him in that way. So a leader looks to understand what inspires their people. That's leadership. Narada is looking to what inspires the Prachetas, what inspires Puranjana, what inspires Dhruva. That's leadership by inspiration, as opposed to leadership by control.
This is one little thing.
Yes, Durlabha.
Detail about that offering respect to others.
Yeah.
Why isn't it just offering respect to others? It just mean that ready to offer respect means you're in your mind, you're respectful, but then offering respect is actually the manifestation physically. Is that what that means?
Yeah, it means you're in the... So that's the servant leader.
You're not necessarily offering your base to everybody.
Yeah, that's the external. That's the external. It may be appropriate in some situations, it may not be appropriate in others. You have the leadership, the management... what is it called? Pyramid. Yeah, management pyramid, management triangle. The Vaishnava, the leader... The Vaishnava leader inverts that triangle. So the leader is the servant of the servant. Your Namhara group, the leader of that group is the servant of the group. The temple president is the servant of the servants. The servant of the servants of Sri Sri Vara Gopinath, that's the leader at the bottom. You have a congregation of devotees at the top. You have a country of devotees. You have a state. You have a congregation. That's who's being served. You have different Namhara heads or whatever in between. The servant of the servants. That's the leader. That's offering respect. And not expecting respect for oneself.
You have to be really intelligent then. You have to be really intelligent then, which is the best way of serving somebody. You have to serve people in different ways. So you know, which is the best way to help this person be devoted.
Viveka. Discrimination. Intelligence means discrimination.
You get that from other great leaders. You see how they do
it. Yeah. Particularly for the bhakti yogi, advancement in Krishna consciousness means discrimination. The monist, the impersonalist, thinks everything's one. There's no discrimination. Bhakti yogi is a rasika. Rasika means they're expert in relishing rasa. There's so much subtlety in rasa. Last question from Abhishek. His own affection for the holy name, his own affection for his spiritual master, his own affection for the people that he's serving by sharing Krishna consciousness. That radiates from his personality. And so when he speaks about Krishna consciousness, there's a depth of conviction and serenity. When he sings Krishna's name, it's with attachment and relish. And when he speaks to people, speaking to their hearts, from his heart to their heart, rather than taking power over them, trying to control them, or impress them with his intelligent ideas and arguments. And so so it's very genuine. The realization is genuine. The attachment to chanting is genuine. The presentation of the teachings is to the heart and from the heart. Others are drawn to and inspired by that. as a magnet, yeah? A magnet to devotees. They want to be part of that energy. And then a magnet, seeing the happiness, the satisfaction, the conviction, there's a determination to Prabhupada's mission, to please Prabhupada, to serve Prabhupada. And then 300 devotees, it's a nice example, because on the tour you get a mix of all kinds of personalities, and they all find their place there, because there's so much variety of engagement. It's the, you know, the massive cooking arrangements for 200-300 devotees a day, and then for the guests at the festivals every day. There's a lot there. There's a whole deity department. Then 200-300 devotees come in to see the deities each day and appreciating. So the pujaris are inspired, bringing the deities to the festival as well. Then there's all these eccentric artists and musicians. And they have a way of, you know, engaging that eccentricity in a manner which is generally not possible in a regular temple. And then you have these, you know, like more austere and determined preachers, book distributors, and can, you know, face that austerity of going out. So they have their place. Then you have hard-working, you know, strong, hard-working men. They have a place. They're putting up, arranging festival sites and moving massive amounts of equipment. So there's really a place for everyone to, a real diverse group of different personalities, types. But there's a place for each and every one of them in that, you know, unit. So there's diversity in that unity. Devotees are inspired. They're part of something meaningful, part of something big and meaningful. Maharaj brings them all together. Okay, thank you. That was our last question. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktarindi Ki Jai Nichai Gaur Premanandi.